world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything I say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up, beloved, for the truth because God is on our side. When you're getting the truth out the word of God, you don't have to bag up or shut up, but you can speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ because he's on your side. Good morning to you out there in radio land and indeed, it is indeed a plum pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that you've been having a good day today. Remember now, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad. Be glad in it. This is a brand new day, regardless how old you are. You've never seen the same day twice. God is always giving you something new every day. All right. Today in the Situation Room, this is our day that we deal with marriage questions pertaining to the marriage life. But before I answer those questions today, let me give you some contact information just in case you have a marriage question pertaining to marriage life, or questions even pertaining to the Christian life, or you just have a hot topic you want us to discuss here in the Situation Room, you can email them to me here at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. Or you can call me and leave it on my voicemail at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. All right, we done got that out the way. Now let me go get my Bible today. Sister Wilbert is not here today, so I'm gonna have to do this by myself. We had a different scheduling problems this week, so I'm having to do it by myself. But with the help of the Lord, I'm not by myself. Amen. We got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of me. And with the prayers of the righteous, I know you out there in radio land, you've been praying for me. And you pray for KLITB. We certainly need your prayers. But I know that some of you are out there praying for this ministry. So with the help of the Lord, we'll be able to answer these questions. All right. I have three questions before me. Hopefully I can get all three, but we'll just go as far as we can. All right. First question, number one, I feel attracted to one of my husband's close friends? Should I tell my husband? That's the first question. Should I tell my husband friend? That's a second question. What should I do? All right, let me repeat the question again. She say, I feel attracted to one of my husband's friends. Should I tell my husband? That's her question. Should I tell my husband friend? The guy that she's attracted to, that's what she's saying. What should I do? She asking three questions there. Should I tell my husband? That's her first question. Well, the bottom line, my sister, and I'm thinking this is a Christian sister in the Lord, you should run away from this situation. Just practice the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We have discussed this verse here several times, but it applies right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this is what you should do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, because you want to know what you should do. Well, you should run from this situation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 18 through 20. The Bible says, flee fornication. That means run. Get out the way. Get out of the way of fornication. Run from fornication. Don't run to fornication. Run away from fornication. And fornication means illegal sex. All kind of illegal sex. It means sex outside of marriage. All sexual connotation outside of marriage. Flee fornication. Flee flirting with your husband friend. Flee looking at your husband. Because see, the scripture says, Jesus said, husband friend, flee looking at, you want to look at your husband, but you don't want to be looking at your husband friend. See, the Bible even tells us, Jesus said, you've heard it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But he says, but I say unto you, whosoever shall look upon a woman with lust in his heart has committed adultery already. So you don't even want to be looking at this man, because that's going to create lust in your heart. So practice this verse. 1 Corinthians 6, flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinned against his own body. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So that's first thing I'd do. I would flee. I would make sure that I'm not around. I'm not even around my husband's close friends. If your husband's close friend is coming over to the house, I'll leave the house. I just wouldn't be around. I'll go upstairs or something. I just wouldn't be around him. That would be the time I would go shopping. That would be the time I would go with my friends. I just wouldn't be around him. And then you ask the person, do you need to tell your husband? Well, I don't think you need to tell your husband, because he might can't handle this. See, not everybody can handle information, particularly bad news like that. That's a heavy load to drop on your husband. So I wouldn't tell my husband, neither do you need to tell your husband friend. You asked the question, should I tell my husband friend that I kind of, you know, I'm infatuated with him? No, I wouldn't tell him that I'm infatuated with him. I wouldn't let him know that I got the hots for him. because he may not have even thought about you. But now when you drop that load on him, that may be the trigger that triggered him to start chasing after you. So no, you don't need to tell this man that you got the hots for him. Listen, you don't need to tell your husband. You don't need to tell this man. The only person you need to tell is the Lord. You need to tell the Lord. You need to take your burden to the Lord. That's a burden. That's bothering you. So you need to go on and take that to the Lord. And then I would practice Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Let me just turn over there. Psalm 139. David says, verse 23 and 24, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." See, ask the Lord to show you your heart. Because, see, you don't know how bad your heart is. There's lust in your heart. You see that. But there may be some other stuff there in your heart. So ask the Lord to show you what's in your heart. What are you getting from that relationship that you're not getting from your husband? I would ask the Lord to show me what's in my heart. And then I would ask the Lord to clean me up. Clean me up. David in Psalm 51 said, "Create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit that's within me, that I can serve you in spirit and in truth." I would ask the Lord to do that. And then I would practice verse 24 here. He says, "And see if there's any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way of everlasting." I would ask God to lead me. I would ask God to show me. I wouldn't be asking my friends to show me. But I would be asking God to show me and God to lead me away from this. And you may be hot today, but after God get through with your heart, then this thing is going to be a thing that you probably going to be able to laugh at. You're going to say, "Now, how in the world, you know, what was I thinking about?" When you look at that man, because God can clean your heart in such a way that you'll be just sick of yourself that you even thought about laying down with this man. The Lord can fix it where he'll put a bad taste. He'll take that desire out. But not only will he take that desire, he'll put a bad taste in your heart for even thinking to go that way. So, and then God will empower you to with power on high to be led away from that. So that's what I would do. And like I said, I would ask God to show me, you know, what is this man doing or that I believe this man can do that my husband is not doing. And then If that man is doing something, let's say he crack jokes or just make you feel good, then you tell your husband. You tell your husband that this is what I want you to do for me. I need you to lift my spirits up. Can you give me compliments? See, this man may be giving you compliments. Well, you don't have to go to that man because he's giving you compliments. You can tell your husband that, "Baby, you need to give me some compliments and some affirmation," because a lot of time that's what you running after. Rather than running after something outside the house, you got it right there at home. But a lot of times we don't humble ourselves enough in order to get those things, or we don't let it be known sometimes. So let it be known. Let your husband know, husband, I need you to give me some compliments, to tell me that I look pretty, to tell me that my hair look nice, to tell me that my clothes look good, that this is a pretty suit that I'm wearing, that that's a pretty red dress. Tell me that I got a good figure. Tell me that I cook good. I need to hear you giving me these compliments. If it's the attention, if this man is giving you attention, but your husband is not giving you attention, you tell your husband, I need you to give me more attention. I need you to give me more attention. Just come on out and tell it. You know, a lot of times men, they may be thanking, husband may be thanking they're giving you the attention and the affection that you deserve and that you want. They thinking that they already doing it. You need to let them know you're coming up short. You're coming up short. And then I would realize that you know, this thing of focusing on this other man, realize that being attractive to this other man like that can destroy your marriage. And you don't want to destroy your marriage. Realize that this is an attack from the devil who's out to destroy your marriage. Now, you need to wake up and realize that. That's just not an infatuation that you are having. That's just not a thrill that you have. The devil is wanting to use that to destroy your marriage. So I would practice over there in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Let me turn over there. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Clean your hands, you sinner. Purify your heart, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and moan, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's what I would do, sister. I would submit myself to God. How do you do that? You line up with what God said. You stay with the word. Don't you get out of bounds. Don't you get out of bounds, and committing adultery is running out of bounds. You stay lined up with the word, and you resist that devil. You resist those thoughts of temptation. When those thoughts of temptation come your way, you send that to the pits of hell. Say, I refuse to accept that thought in Jesus' name, and I send that thought to the pits of hell. And then you draw nigh to God. You get in that word. You start praying. You pray. You weep before God. You cry before God. You ask God to take away these sinful thoughts, these sinful desires. And by you doing that, God will bring forth victory, because the scripture says, when you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, then he will exalt you, or he'll lift you up in due time. So you do that, my sister. God bless you. May God keep you is our prayer. All right. We have one other question we can get to, I believe. This question, we just had a baby, and my wife don't seem to be interested in having sex. What should I do? Well, you need to wait on the Lord. All right. Realize that this is normal. This is normal a lot of times. Most couples normally have trouble getting started back again. Understand that your wife's body have went through a lot of changes. Her body done went from one change to another, and she went to the point of death even to deliver this baby. And so, and depending upon how hard this pregnancy was, you know, she could have had a hard pregnancy or a hard delivery. Normally, most doctors say it's going to take a few weeks before things get back to normal. Most doctors is going to recommend about 6 weeks. And then after 6 weeks, you can start having sex again. But you need to check with your doctor on that. So talk to her about sex after 6 weeks. Now, I don't know how long it's been here, but you know, wait a little while longer. Also, find other ways to show your love to your wife. She needs a lot of love right now. You know, a lot of time after ladies done had babies, they're conscientious of their bodies and what have you. And she may still in her mind still be fat, or she may still in her mind be overweight, and she may be somewhat depressed. She may even be, you know, I forget what they call it, postmortem, post something. But it's after you have had the baby. Sometimes the ladies can kind of be somewhat depressed. So I just recommend that at this point, you just practice 1 Corinthians 13. Be patient with your wife at this point, and be kind at this point and at this stage in the development of your marriage and fatherhood and motherhood. You know, the scripture says love suffers long and is kind, and love envieth not, and love vaunts not itself, or not puffed up, and does not behave itself in an unseemly way. It seeketh not its own, is not easily provoked, and it thinketh no evil. And so right now, my brother, that's what you need to do. You need to more or less apply. Take your Bible and read 1 Corinthians 13 and ask God to help you in the area of love, and show a lot of love towards your wife. Make her feel special all over again. Make her feel like she's somebody. Make her feel like that she's the lady of your dream. Make her feel like that she's the best mother in the world, okay? So you show a lot of love, because once you show a lot of love, then you'll start getting love back in return. See, you reap whatever you sow. So if you want love from your wife, then show a lot of love. Then after, you know, 2 or 3 months, if your wife still hadn't showed, you know, no interest, you probably want to have a sit-down meeting with her and find out, you know, why she don't want to have, you know, sex, why she don't want to come to bed on time. You have a sit-down meeting with her and talk to her one-on-one, and if that don't work, you may have to talk with the doctor, may have to bring the doctor in with this matter, because it could be, you know, like some depression setting in or something else that's going on either with her body or with her mind at this stage. All right. Well, God bless you. Hopefully that answered your question. Look like we're not going to be able to get this third question in. This third question, though, was, we just got married. How important is it that we read the Bible together and pray together? Well, The clock on the wall is saying that's going to be all. So we're not going to be able to answer that today. But we will be able to answer that on next week. All right. So tune in next week. Same time, same station. All right. Thank you so kindly for listening to us today and joining us in the Situation Room. We hope something was said, something was done to help you and strengthen you in your marriage or in your anticipation of one day getting married. All right. Let me encourage you to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in music. So at 9 o'clock, we'll be back. We'll take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at a wonderful church in Irving, Texas called Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a real live radio drama, and it'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, no sweat, because we begin to rebroadcast them. In Your Corner will be rebroadcast at 12 and at 6. Ghostbusters will be rebroadcast at 1 and 7. The Situation Room will be rebroadcast at 2 and 8. A Look in the Book will be rebroadcast at 3 and 9. Unshackled will be rebroadcast at 4 and 10. A Deeper Look in the Book will be rebroadcast at 5 and 11. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.